At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
We are into the month of August. We are into fall camp throughout the college football world. We are 21 days away from kicking off the college football season with Florida State and Georgia Tech. Just another 26 days until the Big Ten gets into action with Rutgers hosting Howard. So much fun here as we are now in the thick of it. Welcome, everybody, to Believe in Big Ten. This is the Big Ten Show here with you on Sports Grid. Rhett Lewis alongside former Nebraska Cornhusker Adam Carriker, and we are ready to rock and roll here. Great to be here with you as we share our love of the Big Ten with you guys here today. Adam, but before we dig into everything that's going on, fall camp brings about special memories for me, not because I pulled my hamstring on the first morning practice of every two-a-day in fall. Some might say that was strategy. Some might say that was genetics.
Strategy. Wow, that's brilliant. I should have thought of that.
I know, but I do love this time of year, man. I do get anxious. I do I think back about my alarm clock going off. Don't want to miss every, it's just there's that excitement. Right. There's that nervous energy about getting this thing rolling and beginning this 2024 journey.
There's that nervousness. There's that excitement. Yeah. There's that anticipation. I actually played with an individual, and I think Phil would be okay with me sharing this. Phil Peets, he slept with his lights on all night because he was so every day during fall camp, back when you could do two-a-days, eons ago. But he was so nervous about being late. He'd sleep with his lights on all night. Oh, and gosh. I'm just like, Phil was an unusual guy, and I mean that in a phenomenal sense. He definitely caught me off guard the first time he ever blocked me. He pancaked me. But we won't talk too much about that. But, dude, it's a special time of year, and guys like you who pulled their hamstring out of nowhere, you were smarter than I was.
I was great in the afternoon practices for my gym. I needed, all day to get fully warmed up. You know what I mean? So, but look, that's what guys are going through right now. And while we're not doing double days anymore, there is still massive opportunities out there for teams to begin to come together, for players to begin to make their mark on the depth chart. We're going to get into some of that today. In fact, we're going to give you a de facto Ohio State and Michigan season preview, right? Talking about the defending national champions first with Michigan, talking about the defending Big Ten champions now back to back to back. And then, of course, Ohio State, who has been in that position very often. We're going to get their side of things as well. So Michigan, Ohio State previews coming up in our unofficial summer series kicking off today with you guys here on Sports Grid. But we also wanted to begin by trying to settle, maybe not once and for all, but settle the age-old debate, right? Big Ten versus SEC. In the first year of the new conference expansion, the new look SEC and Big Ten, SEC moving to 16 teams, Big Ten now with 18 teams for the first time this year. SEC welcoming Texas and Oklahoma, Big Ten welcoming USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington. So in light of that, you took a good hard look at the preseason top 25 polls here, Adam. And to set the scene there and to set the stage for this debate, give me an idea of how you feel like that shakes out, at least from a national perspective.
First of all, look at this glorious handwriting I once got a C in the fifth grade from Mrs. LaSalle.
That's like mine.
It's actually come a long ways because I can actually now read it. But right. I did. I went to Athlon Sports preseason top 25. I've waited for their magazine ever since I was a kid to come out every summer. Okay, so that's who I always go with, because the actual AP poll doesn't come out until Monday, August 12th at noon. So we're going to go off of Athlon's preseason poll in the top 10. Well, we'll just start with the top five. You got number 1, Georgia, number 2, Ohio State, number 3, Oregon, number 4, Texas. Okay. SEC, Big Ten run amok. You go to the top 10. It doesn't change a whole lot as far as SEC versus Big Ten. Number 5, Ole Miss. Number 6, Bama. 7, Michigan. 8, Penn State. 9, Notre Dame out there doing their own thing as they always do. Number 10, Missouri. So that's 5 SEC, 4 Big Ten, and then Notre Dame right there in the Big Ten. And so, I'm sorry, not in the Big Ten, but kind of doing their own thing as always. And so number 11 is LSU. All right, and then you finally start to get into Florida State, Utah, Clemson, some of these Big 12 ACC teams. All right, you go through the top 25. You've got 9 SEC teams. Okay. All right. You got five Big Ten teams, very much in the top 10, top four is where the Big Ten teams tend to rest. Okay. Then you got five Big 12, five ACC and Notre Dame. So the way I look at this is, well, it's not even a question. It's the SE freaking C, right? It's 9 to 5 to 5. They got almost as many as the Big Ten and Big 12 combined. Okay, yeah. Now that's the lazy man's way to look
at it.
That's
one way to look at it, right?
Okay, another way of looking at it is twofold. Number one, Oklahoma lost like their entire offensive line. They're number 16 in this poll, by the way. And they lost a whole bunch of players. Not saying they're not going to be good, not going to be decent. I think they're going to have a rough introductory season to the SEC. That's just my opinion. I don't think they end up ranked. You look at A&M and all that turmoil. $100 million plus Jimbo Fisher is no longer there. The very next year, I mean, what can you really expect? So to me, is there a little bit of SEC, ESPN, SEC bias? I don't know.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I've said that before. I'll say it again.
Where's the second guy in a grassy knoll over here? I like it. This is good. The conspiracy theories. All right. Yep.
So I even put question marks by those two. If you can see those right there, question marks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I did put some question marks by some Big Ten teams. All right. Okay. I didn't draw the question marks in, but Wisconsin and Iowa, they're ranked way more often than not, yet they don't appear in the top 25. Nebraska's kind of everybody's preseason darling. I don't know how you put them in the top 25 just yet, but they're kind of like everybody's preseason darling in the first seven games are beyond manageable. And then I actually put a question mark to USC, whose preseason ranked 22nd. I'm like, how do we know what the heck to expect out of USC? So to me, you could insert Iowa, you can insert Wisconsin, you could take out USC. The one thing I will say the Big Ten has going for it is they are coast to coast. And over the course of time, that is going to benefit them greatly. The SEC, hey, the South, that's where football is king. It's God. It's it's right below going to church on Sundays or maybe even above in some spots. But it's very regional. Does that eventually over time make a difference?
So I think that's a good way to look at this. But, you know, the way that and especially from a national perspective to kind of get that picture, right? Yeah, all right, sure, SEC's got more teams in the top 25. That's fine. But when you directly compare pound for pound with the Big Ten, that's where things start to get interesting. Sure, the Big Ten has a couple extra teams, right? But I think we can use that, you know, we can kind of separate that from the ultimate kind of deciding factors here. But the way that I would kind of look at this is starting at the very top. Right. Top three teams at each conference. I think we would both agree. And I think we did right on our when we were going through the polls and going through the preseason rankings back when we were live at Big Ten Media Days. You know, it's Ohio State, it's Oregon, it's Penn State. 1, 2, 3 at this point. Right. And then, you know, Michigan probably in there for, you know, four or five, depending on how you want to look at things. But they feel like that next. And then there's a little bit of a drop off there. Right. We talked about those tiers on a previous episode. Be sure to check us out over on YouTube as well to catch up with all of that content if you missed it. So and then when I compare those three teams, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, with the top three teams in the SEC preseason media poll, you're looking at Georgia, Texas and Alabama. So Georgia and let's say Ohio State. Right. If you stack that up, those top teams is pretty close to me in terms of talent.
Very.
Now, I think the last couple of years, though, there's been a more established, consistent level of high level elite success for Georgia. I'll give them the nod there.
Yeah.
Right. Oregon and Texas. Oregon, this close to the CFP a year ago, if not for Washington, they're probably in there. Washington, of course, defeated Texas in the semifinal. Quinn Ewers comes back for Texas, and now Dylan Gabriel leads the way for Oregon. Just from the quarterback spot there. But there's without going position by position here, I almost give that a little bit of a wash. Like, I think those two teams are really tight as well. And so then you look to Alabama and Penn State, you know, and there's obviously a lot of questions there as new staff turns over at Alabama, but some familiar faces, although quite a few of them have moved on. I kind of feel like it's pretty dang even there with Penn State and Alabama. So, I mean, like, it's really hard to separate those top three teams, right? I almost look at that as a wash. Like that is pretty tight right there with those three teams. So I don't think you can make the deciding factor on conference versus conference with those top three teams. Do you see it any differently there?
It's really hard. If I force myself to pick, I'd give the slight nod to Georgia over Ohio State.
So just that's probably where nod. They get the edge, right?
I would actually give the slight nod. So Texas within the past year or two, maybe a tad above Oregon, but over the past decade, it's been Oregon. Texas was really down for a while, not that long ago. I'd actually give the slight nod to Oregon. Okay.
Yeah.
I just feel that. Very slight. Penn State and Alabama. Dude. Yeah. I guess you give the slight nod to Bama if you have to pick one, just because Penn State hasn't quite been able to eke into that top tier. But Bama lost so many players. To me, it is a wash if you look at it like that.
Yeah, and then you're looking, you know, Ole Miss, LSU versus, you know, Michigan, Iowa. Again, you're going to be talking about 9 to 10 win teams right there. I do think, though, the bottom of the Big Ten, the perceived bottom of the Big Ten, ultimately gets the edge over the bottom of the SEC, which I think, you know, in my opinion, the strength of the, you know, strength of the wolf is the pack. And in that case, I do feel like the Big Ten top to bottom is going to get there just a hair over the SEC. And that will likely cause a stir in that region there in the Southeast. But I'm okay with that. And I do think we could go, you know, more in depth on that. But I do feel like top, maybe SEC does get the edge, but from middle to bottom, I feel like the Big Ten can stand on its own 2 feet there and get the edge. So it's just a matter of how you want to parse it out that way. But that's always fun to kind of go through those two conferences. So, go ahead.
I was just going to give the Big Ten the slight edge because of this. We play 9 conference games, they play 8. They get 2 bye weeks, and I don't like it.
Ring the bell. Raise the hand. Boom. We've got the champion right there. That's the kicker, the bonus. All right. We're giving the Big Ten the edge. Shocker here on the Big Ten show. All right. We're going to, when we come back here, we are going to dig into our summer series here, starting with the defending Big Ten champion, Michigan Wolverines. We'll give you some of their star power heading into this 2024 season. All right, Big Ten Show back here with you on Sports Grid. Rhett Lewis, Adam Carriker, as we dig in to the first episode here, mini episode of our summer series, taking a look at the Michigan Wolverines. Going to try to identify some, to begin here, the star power with this team. Now, they lost quite a bit coming off their first national title since 1997. Talking about, you know, quarterback, running back, you know, both wide receivers. You know, you're talking about offensive line completely gone from a year ago. Defensive stars leave as well. Junior Colson, kind of the heartbeat of that defense in the middle. Mikey Sain was still. So now how do they reload? And they're going to have to do it with the new head coach in Sherrone Moore taking over for Jim Harbaugh. So let's start right there with star power. Adam, how do you see the crew that is going to lead this team back to prominence and to try to keep them in that contender conversation in the Big Ten Conference?
So you mentioned it. They sent 18 players to the NFL draft. That's the most of any team in college football last year. So entire offensive line plus 1 6 offensive linemen are gone. Quarterback, head coach, everything that we already know. Star power. I'm going to start with Donovan Edwards. Going to shock you right there.
Perfect one.
I mean, his top end speed is probably even better than what they've had at their starting running back position for a while. So could it even be an upgrade over what they've had? That's almost hard to fathom, but he potentially could be. Then I'm going to go to the defensive side of the ball. Going to shock you there. Okay, with Michigan, especially with all the question marks on offense, you got defensive tackle Mason Graham. This is a guy who's already on the Nagurski watch list, along with cornerback Will Johnson. So those are the three players that kind of stick out to me the most. Okay, and Mason, first team all Big Ten. Okay, last year for the coaches. And I thought this was interesting. Third, how do you go from first to third team when it came to the media all Big Ten?
That was really weird. I remember that when that came out.
Yeah, those are the three that stood out to me.
Okay, there's no way you can't start with Donovan Edwards. I mean, that's just, he's on the cover of NCAA 25, right? The video game's back, and he's one of the dudes right there in the center leading the way. Has talked about his struggle with some kind of mental health issues, but feels like he is on the other side of that. You know, had some production season from a year ago, but amped it up, you know, in the college football playoff. We saw him really take off there. I think they get more explosive that way. He's a more explosive runner than Blake Corum was, but you are going to miss Corum's nose for the end zone, which was unrivaled in Michigan history, top touchdown scorer in that program's prestigious history. So certainly Donovan Edwards, I'll agree with you here. Mason Graham, flat out game wrecker. Like, he is a game wrecker from the interior. I think, you know, even from a pass rush perspective, I think he's going to collapse pockets on quarterbacks and cause nightmares all day long. And then, you know, certainly Will Johnson, as you mentioned, you know, one of the top corners in the cup. We could be talking about Mason Graham and Will Johnson as potential top 5 draft picks.
For sure.
Like, that's how good they are on the defensive side of the ball. Yep, they're going to get some, you know, kind of replacing both their starting linebackers, you know, from last year. But they'll figure it out. They've got a great pipeline there. So my two stars that I'll give outside of the ones that you gave, Colston Loveland at tight end. I think, you know, losing, you know, Roman Wilson, who was a big time touchdown scorer for them a year ago. I think Colston Loveland picks up the void, fills that void a little bit on the offensive production. He was good last year. I think he takes another step this year. So Colston Loveland, star power in the offense for me. I'll flip over to the other side and give you another defender to watch. And that's Mekari Page. Back there in the back end with Will Johnson. I think that they do a phenomenal job of limiting explosive plays. I think he's a sure tackler, and I think he's a guy that can be a playmaker from that spot. Gets his hands on the ball. You know, there's a trust that's built there with him and Will Johnson. You know, like he can be, almost be like, I know Will's good over here. Maybe I could cheat over the other side. Like they've got, I feel like Mekari Page is going to be one of those guys that gets his hands on a lot of footballs this season for Michigan. So a look there at star power. There's plenty of other ones that we could get to as well. You know, Jayshon Barham is a guy from Maryland that comes in to kind of help fill the void of the linebacker departures that they had a year ago. I'd keep an eye on him as well. But that kind of leads us into the next piece of this preview with Michigan, which is a breakout player. And so that's something that I want to get into right now. Do you have a guy, you know, maybe outside of that star power tier that we've been talking about that you think could take the next step for the Michigan Wolverines as they look to get back to the top of the conference?
One final thought. I forgot to mention it with Mason Graham. He was the defensive MVP of the Rose Bowl. He had that critical tackle for loss in overtime versus Bama as well. That's okay. And it's interesting because you had, it depends on where you want to put Colston Loveland. I had him as a breakout player. Okay. Now, it's kind of asinine to say because he was first team all Big Ten. Adam, how can he be a breakout player? Because star power means people recognize who you are very quickly. Okay. And to me, he could become that recognizable star power type face this year. I don't know that he's there just yet, despite being a really freaking good football player. First team all Big Ten last year to the coaches, second team all Big Ten in the media, caught 45 passes, 649 yards and 4 TDs. When you got a new quarterback, okay, a big target with great hands can be that new quarterback's best friend. So he could be their top pass catcher. Okay, I do have a couple of wide receivers on this list. They're all very unproven, but I've got Tyler Morris, Jr., 5'11", 185, very shifty as a potential breakout player. But I got Colston Loveland being that new quarterback's best friend, whoever that ends up being, whether it's Orgy or someone else, early on in the season. And then again, another guy, like, how is he on this list? And how is he not a star? Again, it's about that recognizable star power type name recognition. So defensive tackle Kenneth Grant. They could just have two monsters inside. All right, 29 tackles for loss. All right, I'm sorry, 29 tackles, 5 for loss, 3.5 sacks, and 6 quarterback hurries. Second team and third team all Big Ten, respectively, coaches and media poll as well. So those are guys that could become more household type names this year.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you two more. The first one is a tight end that will kind of help keep the tight end depth rolling for Michigan. You remember last year it was Colston Loveland. It was AJ Barner who had just transferred in, and then Max Bredesen, you know, kind of doubles as a tight end fullback. They want to go, you know, a little bit heavier. You bring Breddy in there as a big physical force on that Michigan offense. So I'll give you another one. Marlon Kline. Another tight end. He was a junior a year ago. Very limited production. 6'6", 250-pound guy. Guy was born in Germany. Okay, coming over. I think he starts to find his footing and be. You know, I was tipped off to that by another great tight end in Michigan history, a Mackey Award winner. Jake Butt was like, keep an eye on Marlon Kline. So I trust his opinion very much. Shout out to Jake. And so I would keep an eye on him kind of helping Marlon Kline, helping to add to that tight end room. And then the other one is Khalil Mullings, right? And, you know, is a guy who is, you know, had, you know, over 200 yards rushing a year ago, but has kind of been in the shadows of Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum at times. And now, you know, with the attention that Donovan's going to get, I think that that Khalil Mullings could be a guy that really steps up as a breakout player to kind of help a 1-2 punch there in the Michigan backfield. Okay, just getting started with our Michigan previews. When we come back here, we're going to get now to the biggest question mark facing this Michigan Wolverines football team. And no question, that quarterback will be among those topics of conversation all coming up.